Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio.
Give from the heart.
Give from the heart.
To the radio station that supports you heart and soul.
This is the Relevant Radio Winter Pledge Drive. Give from the heart.
Welcome back. Let's begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, the big goal for us right now during Pledge Drive is the need of $3 million to come in by the end of the week, and we're halfway there now, and we're not halfway there in terms of the money. So in a little bit, Mary will be joining me, and we'll talk a little bit more about that and how we're strategizing to get to where we need to be by the end of the day today. And that's where you come in. So we'll talk more about that in a minute. First of all, let's go back to the phones. The number to dial to be on the program is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Let's start off with Megan in Larkspur, California. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning, Patrick. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, I have a question about the Sixth Commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery.
Yeah.
And is that, thank you, is that specifically cheating on spouses, or is it also sex outside of marriage?
It is. It is both. So as the term adultery in that case has a specific meaning, and that would be to engage in sexual activity with somebody who is married, if you're not, or if you're married with somebody who's not your husband or wife. But it also, in a broader sense, it includes sexual sin in general. So it subsumes all the other various types of sin that one could commit into that commandment. Now, there is another commandment, the ninth commandment, as you know, which is thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. And that is a particular version of this other sin category, the sixth commandment. And this one has to do, it involves something more than just lust. It also involves theft. So theft in the sense that if you are coveting your neighbor's wife or her husband for that matter, then you are now, in a sense, stealing from that other person. So it is a sexual sin, but it has a distinct aspect to it that is different from the other ones. Does that answer the question, or did you need more detail?
My only question is, with people who have done the sex outside of marriage in our modern times, and the best of, obviously, people, I think, are called to repent of this, and I mean, biblically, but in terms of the culture that people grow up in, and young people specifically here in our country, and what do we tell them? Maybe if they already slipped up in this, and maybe if they're not practicing Catholic even in their lives, and what is the best nicest way, but truthful way to suggest for young people?
Yeah. Well, Jesus was very blunt about this. Jesus says that unless you repent, you will all perish. So he gives an example that they were familiar with in that time, and that had to do with a tower that collapsed. And I think it was 18 men died in this tower collapse. And so Jesus is saying, do you think that these Galileans who died, or those who were executed by Pontius Pilate and their blood was mingled with their sacrifices, do you think that they were in like some special category that you're not in? He said, no, I tell you, this is Luke 13, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now, he doesn't mean that you're going to die in a tower falling. What he means is the eternal death of hell. So fundamentally, Jesus says that we have to repent from our sins, whatever age you may be. But I think it's pretty true to say that for many of us, most of us perhaps, the biggest sins tended to happen when we were younger and less knowledgeable or less dialed in, less faithful, less, you know, we were more clueless and so on. So whether you're a young person or an older person, regardless of what your sins may be, this is fundamental to being saved, is to repent of your sins. So yeah, that's the message.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. Do you recommend people going to confession even more than once about this, if it kind of astonishes them in their conscience, you know, over various periods of their life? Is that okay to bring it up, even if it was mentioned before, perhaps?
I guess it would depend on the circumstances and your relationship with the person. So if this is your son or daughter, you have every right to bring it up as necessary, because you have a duty, you have a responsibility toward that person. If it's a total stranger, you can bring it up for sure, but you don't really have a duty or a responsibility to be as persistent as you might be with somebody close to you.
Thank you.
We should do what we can to encourage people to do what Jesus said, and that is to repent of our sins. But the trick, it seems to me, Megan, is doing it in a way that doesn't come across as, you know, nowadays people, I think, more than ever before, have a very thin skin about, well, you're judging me, and I don't want to be judged. Well, none of us likes to be judged, but there's a time and place for it, and Jesus said to judge with the right judgment. So the trick is trying to give that message in a way that doesn't come across so that the person stops listening or refuses to even consider this message. Maybe one way to do it would be to talk about, well, you know that Jesus said that if you break the commandments, you're not going to go to heaven. If you don't obey him, if you don't love him, if you don't accept his gift of grace and so on. So you want to go to heaven, right? Well, yeah, of course I do. Well, I mean, why would you not want to receive the graces in the sacrament that would help you avoid sin and live in the truth? Now, I know it's easier said than done, because for a lot of people, that's a platitude. And they may say, well, okay, yeah, but I really enjoy this thing that I'm doing, and I really like doing it, and I'm not really ready to stop doing it. So this is where you can do as much as you can, but you can't push too hard. Otherwise, the person may tune out. So tell them the truth. Speak the truth in love. Show good example. Give encouragement. You know, these are all things that you can do, but realizing ultimately that the Holy Spirit is the Lord of the harvest, and he's the one who converts hearts. You and I can be like the sower of the seed, but he's the one who's going to bring the harvest. So do what you can, is what I would say.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can I ask you one more thing?
Sure.
Oh, thank you. In Moses' time, I think I remember reading, if a man sleeps with a woman who's, you know, a virgin or whatnot, mm-hmm. and that he is to go and marry her, he should go to her dad, pay the bride. So could we assume, okay, if a couple young people did this, but then they just go and get married, that ends up okay?
I'm not sure if I understand the question.
Oh, well, I think in the ancient laws with Moses, there's a part, I think, where it says if a man sleeps with a woman who's a virgin.
Oh, no, I understand that. No, I understand that part. But I'm saying, what about that?
So it's just, is that still something? Are they still supposed to be repentant, or have they made things okay just in the fact of getting married?
Under the Mosaic law, the mitzvot, the hundreds and hundreds of laws that were incumbent upon the Israelites during the time of Moses and beyond, these were, you might say, intended to suffice for what would later be something, in our case, under Jesus, we don't have to fulfill certain exacting specifications in a works-oriented way, the way they were permitted to do. So unlike us now, repentance in the heart is necessary. And the way the Mosaic Law was given, the way it was dispensed, it was understood that if you did these things, then that essentially meant that you were sorry for what you did. You were no longer ritually unclean if you sacrificed this animal. So the mindset was different. And I guess I could say that for those people at that time, this is the law that they were told to follow, and they did. And this, by the way, is what Jesus, you know, he had a head-on collision with this mindset when he was preaching true repentance and humility and such, because these people had for so long had thought that this is what would save them, would be their righteousness and the deeds that they did and the exacting fulfillment of these various laws, that that's what would make them righteous. So Jesus had to show them that there was a higher and better way that involved repentance. So for them, following the law was sufficient. For us, we've outgrown the law. So Jesus tells us how we are supposed to repent, etc. I hope that's helpful. And I appreciate the call, Megan. We're going to take a moment and listen to a message from Father Rocky on this third day of Pledge Drive. There are only five. We're halfway there now. So here's Father Rocky.
Hi, this is Father Rocky, CEO of Relevant Radio and your host for the Family Rosary Across America. Have you heard about the gifts we have today at the dollar a day level? My Irish German eyes are smiling. It's a beautiful marble bead green Irish rosary and a St. Patrick medal, which traveled with Drew to holy sites in Ireland. The rosary has a miraculous centerpiece and an ornate Celtic crucifix. It really has the look of a rosary from the old country. It's boxed if you like to give it as a gift. The set includes the rosary, a St. Patrick holy card with the Irish blessing prayer on the back, and a satin-lined gift box. The gorgeous green marbled bead Irish rosary and St. Patrick medal is our special thank you gift for a donation of a dollar a day to Relevant Radio. Give online now at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. Those are the quickest ways to give, but if calling is your only option, give us a ring, 877-291-0123.
And oh, the list of many holy places that this rosary has been. Remember, when they're gone, they're gone. This is a limited number because Drew took these medals of St. Patrick with him on pilgrimage all over Ireland. So we can't tell Drew, oh, they're gone, we need more, redo. It can happen. So you do not want to miss out. They are going fast. And don't procrastinate. Don't think, I'm going to get to this after work. I'll do this later. Because after work, possibly they won't be here. I am absolutely amazed at how quickly these are getting scarfed up. Can I say that? Yeah. They're just going so fast. RelevantRadio.com, the app on your smartphone or tablet, or calling, as Father Rocky just said. If it's your only way, give us a call at 877-291-0123.
I'm looking at the same counter that you are, Mary, and we're just seeing that it's almost
just
in real time.
Five more.
Yeah,
boom,
it's gone. going. So yeah, so we have, when we started the show this morning, we were given an update. Here's the amount of these medals and rosaries that we have left because they did such a great job on morning air. And, you know, we can't impress enough upon you how urgent it is that you call 877-291-0123. We're just asking for a dollar a day pledge, and we'll send you these gifts. But they're going so fast that if you wait, you're going to miss out. And you don't want to. Go to relevantradio.com and take a look at these beautiful items. The St. Patrick's Medal, the Irish Rosary, the book on the Holy Spirit, these medals and rosaries have traveled to all these places in Ireland that Mary was telling you about, and it's yours, but you have to act now or they will be gone.
I think in the last hour, about 150 have gone. Just boom, like that. So they're going so quickly.
Yes.
Do not wait. Do not procrastinate. Contact us immediately at relevantradio.com. Use the app on your smartphone or tablet, or call 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. All we're asking is a dollar a day. That is way less than a cup of coffee each and every day. Elizabeth in Mission, Texas, a dollar a day. Thank you so much. An anonymous donor in Clear Lake, Minnesota, that special gift of a dollar a day. And we have Kelly in Circle Pines, Minnesota, a dollar a day. Thank you for making your gift online. We do appreciate your help and your support. And here we have an anonymous donor in Manuka, Illinois, made their gift online, and it's their second gift during this pledge drive because they're like, I think I kind of like this rosary and this medal idea. I need one of those. You can do it too at relevantradio.com using the app on your smartphone or tablet, or when you call 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. Limited supply. Don't wait.
Good. compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, listen up, Cyrus. I'm going to go to the phones in a minute, but listen up. This involves you. This is a note that came in just now from Robert listening in Madison, Wisconsin, on our 1240 AM station. He says, please be careful. Patrick and Cyrus, can you please be careful with the skits you play on the air? I almost got into trouble at work for laughing like a loon. I was getting weird stares from people. But seriously, he says, thank you for the laughs and the encouragement you provide each day, especially in this week, which has been rough. And that's from Robert. Well, Robert, I'm glad we can help lighten the load. Thanks for listening, and thanks for taking a moment to write to us. You had me going for a second. What did we do wrong? Oh. Nothing, turns out. Okay, Patrick.
I should have. I'm always just taken aback by how generous Relevant Radio listeners are.
This is true.
How amazing this giant family is. It's great. I don't know what to say. Yeah.
Well, we say thank you, Lord, every day for our wonderful listeners. This is a note that came in also this morning from Mariella. She says, have you seen the Google Doodle today? I think it's blasphemous. It shows Mama Cax, C-A-X, as a mix of the Immaculate Conception and Our Lady of Guadalupe. Well, I didn't see it until you mentioned it to me. I went and looked at it. And now that I look at it, I can see kind of what you mean, because there is a sun behind her and there's a kind of a halo type of thing. I didn't know who she was. I wouldn't worry too much about it. I mean, it's, you know, it's art. And if they're borrowing this motif of the sun and this halo, obviously it looks similar to the halo around Our Lady's head in the image on the tilma. What was their intention? Was it to be blasphemous? To be, I don't know. And I'm really not sure what you can do about it. I mean, if you wrote a letter to Google, they're probably going to put that through the shredder. But I see what you mean. I just don't think that there's enough there to really get overly concerned about it. I'm not sure what you can do, honestly. But thank you. Let's get to the phones now. Kyle in Chicago, thank you for your patience. Welcome.
Hello, Patrick.
Hi, Kyle.
My question is the concept of papal infallibility, the concept that the Pope can't be wrong, is that correct?
Not really. At least it's not explained that way. So the concept of papal infallibility stems from Jesus saying things like to St. Peter in Matthew chapter 18, he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, he said those words to Simon Peter individually. He says them to all the apostles corporately two chapters later in Matthew 18:18. But with regard to St. Peter there, and when he tells him, you know, Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my lambs. Do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. So statements like this, or when the Lord says, he who listens to you listens to me, he who rejects you rejects me, they entail a connotation, and that is that this promise to Peter, and by extension to all, to the other apostles, the question is, well, what if they preach something that was false? Now Jesus is in a predicament. He either has to back up what is false, but that's impossible because God can neither deceive nor be deceived, or he has to back off from this promise and say, oh, well, you guys messed up, so I didn't really mean that. Whatever I said about whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, I'm not going to do that anymore. And clearly that too is an impossible scenario. So the inference that we draw from these kinds of biblical promises is that the Lord would protect the Pope, Simon Peter, the first pope, and the bishops of the church. We call that the magisterium, all the bishops as a whole, teaching in unison, teaching in communion with the Bishop of Rome, that they also enjoy infallibility. So what this entails in essence is that in a way that the Lord connects to his promises, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven, that he will protect the pope from teaching error. That's how it was enunciated at the First Vatican Council. And the section on that is called Pastor Eternus, Eternal Shepherd. You can read it online. It's in English. So it lays out the parameters. Now, this doesn't mean that anything any given pope thinks about anything is guaranteed to be right. There have been plenty of popes. In fact, I would say every pope since Simon Peter has had all kinds of ideas that at one time or another turned out not to be true, whether in politics or sports or science or whatever. But the dogma itself, as defined in the First Vatican Council, it says that in a way like a guardrail is the analogy that I find helpful. A guardrail on a twisty mountain road will prevent you from driving over a cliff. And so the way to understand papal infallibility, as I talk about it in my book, Pope Fiction, would be it's like a guardrail. It's a way, it's a charism or a grace that prevents the pope, whoever any given pope might be, from driving the church over a cliff by teaching in a formal way something that is heretical. So it prevents the pope from doing something. It doesn't give him special information. It's not inspiration. It doesn't mean that the pope is right about any opinion he might hold on any given thing. It also doesn't mean that popes can't hold erroneous opinions on theological issues. What it does mean is that it's a restraint against the pope formally teaching error to the church. So I guess I could leave it like that, Kyle. And if you're interested in going deeper, that book that I wrote is called Pope Fiction: Answers to 30 Myths and Misconceptions About the Papacy. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Benson now in Norwalk, California. That's where my mom and dad grew up, Benson, in Norwalk, California. That's where they met. And yeah, they got married at St. Pius X Church, just down the street, probably from where you are.
St. Pius, indeed. I go to St. John of God, a couple blocks down. Thank you for taking my call, Patrick.
You're welcome.
So my question is about apocalyptic literature in the Bible, Daniel, Ezekiel, Revelation. And in my imagination, for some reason, I picture the four living creatures or whatever those flying creatures are with wings as modern day fighter jets or airplanes. And is it a possibility that these Ezekiel, John, and Daniel didn't have enough to describe these things as being these modern day aircrafts?
Great question. Let me read the passage. So you're thinking of Revelation 4, I'm assuming, where it says in verse 5, from the throne issue flashes of lightning and voices and peals of thunder. And before the throne burn seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there is, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns down before the throne, singing, "Worthy thou art thou, O Lord our God." None of this sounds like a fighter jet to me. I'm not trying to make light of your question, far from it, but note that these are living creatures. The church has always associated them with the cherubim and the seraphim, these mighty angels who take this appearance. Doesn't mean that St. John might have elsewhere tried to describe something technological, but I don't think that that's the case here with the living creatures, Benson. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I'll be right back right after this.
We are seeing record numbers each and every hour here at Relevant Radio because this gift is so very popular. It is a beautiful thank you gift that's been created just for you. And I think, Patrick, I think they had you in mind when they came up with this gift idea because it's a St. Patrick's rosary and it's a St. Patrick's medal which toured all around Ireland with Drew Mariani. So you know that as Drew was traveling, he was thinking of you. I'm sure of that. No doubt. And how
no
he's
malarkey. Sparky.
Yeah, he was afraid that you were going to give them all away before he came on the air, and that might happen today. So don't wait, don't procrastinate. There is a limited number of these beautiful rosaries that did travel, or not the rosaries, and the medals, which the medals traveled throughout Ireland with Drew Mariani at relevantradio.com or the app. And when you look at the website or the app, you can actually see how beautiful this rosary is. You can also give us a call, though, at 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123, and claim your special gift today.
Yeah, as I look at the counter, Mary, I can see that just in this hour, it appears as though we're approaching another 100 of these medals and mm-hmm. rosaries gone. We're getting real close to that. And we have still half an hour to go in this hour. So if we trend in that direction for the rest of the hour, we're going to seriously deplete the amount of these medals and rosaries that we have left. So please, please believe us. If you wait, if you dilly-dally, if you shilly-shally, you're not going to get your medal and your rosary. We want you to get that. And you can see them by going to relevantradio.com and click on where it says Donate Now, and you'll see a picture of them. You can't tell me you don't want that. I mean, right. They've it's been beautiful. To all these holy places. Yeah, it's beautiful. So why not? It's a dollar a day. That's all we ask. Call 877-291-0123 and claim yours before it's all gone.
Thank you to Joseph in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, for your special gift of $600, and that qualifies you for a rosary. Maria in Oakland, California, made a special gift of $700. Thank you for your help and your support. You're keeping this programming on the air, coming in at a dollar a day and all making their gifts online. We have Kathy in Germantown, Wisconsin, Michael in Palatine, Illinois, Jill in Carlsbad, California. We have Efrain in Inglewood, California, and Jean in Delta Junction, Arkansas. Special gift of a dollar a day. Make your gift now. That is how quickly they are going. Boom, just like that, I see five more have gone out the door. Do not wait. Do not procrastinate. RelevantRadio.com or the app on your smartphone or tablet are the best ways to claim your rosary, your medal. You also get the book by Sister Faustina, Jesus, I Trust in You. It's a 30-day personal retreat. All that for a dollar a day. Or you can call 877-291-0123.
Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com.
This is the Relevant Radio Winter Pledge Drive.
Give from the heart.
Give from the heart.
Indeed. We are coming to you with our hearts in our hands during Pledge Drive right now. It's your way of letting us know if you want us to continue doing what we do here at Relevant Radio. So thank you for all of you who have made your pledge by calling 877-291-0123. And if you have hesitated or you've just been busy and you haven't had a chance to do it yet, please don't wait, because today and today only, we have a special gift. Actually, three special gifts we would like to give you at your dollar a day level of pledging. And that is the St. Patrick Medal. It is the Irish Rosary with emerald green beads. I have one just like it, and it's quite beautiful. And a book on the Holy Spirit and how God loves you and guides you. And you can make all of these things happen by way of getting them if you make your pledge now before they're gone, 877-291-0123, or use the relevantradio.com website, or use the Relevant Radio app, and you can get yours before they're gone. Let's go to Sam now in Athens, Georgia. Hello, Sam. Welcome.
Good morning, Patrick. An
Good
automatic
morning.
For the people.
Yes, indeed. Automatic for the people. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm good, and I'm hoping people will pray that my PSA will go to zero.
We will.
I have a question. I've had a surprise visit from some young teenage Mormon missionaries mm-hmm. a couple of days ago, and I'm wondering, how do Mormons view the Holy Trinity?
Well, that's a big question. So they don't look at God at all the way you and I do as Catholics. And there are multiple layers of distinction here. Now, I did write a couple of articles on this topic. So if you have a chance, Sam, just go to relevantradio.com/Patrick. Click on links and click on articles, and you'll find them there. And it's a way of trying to bring some clarity to discussions like the one that you had with the Mormon missionaries. So these articles are for Mormons, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, who would like to know what is it that we Catholics believe about God, and I'll explain briefly in a moment, and also for Catholics like you, Sam, and others too, don't have to be Catholic, to understand what it is that Mormons mean when they talk about God. So simply put, Joseph Smith, the man who founded the Mormon religion, he taught that God, Heavenly Father, as he's typically referred to, was at one time a mortal man on a planet somewhere in the universe, and he had a God above him who presumably had a God above him who had a God above him and so on. But Heavenly Father, when he was yet a man, was judged worthy of becoming a God by his God, and so he became a God. And part of his plan, as the Mormon Church claims, that he explained to all of the pre-existent mortals, so all human beings who have ever lived, who live now or who will live, the Mormon Church claims that we all existed in a pre-mortal state, and we were sired by this God, who, or this man who had become a God, and we were procreated, for lack of a better term, by him with his many spirit wives. And so in his plan of salvation, he said that he would send Adam and Eve to earth and they would fall and commit the original sin. And he would send a savior to save humankind from this sin and their own sins. And the question was, well, who will I send? And there were two competing candidates, you might say. One was Lucifer, who said, I will go and I will save everybody and I want all the glory. And Jesus said, I will go, and I can't guarantee everybody will be saved, but I'll give all the glory to you, Father. So in this council of the gods, the Mormon Church says, Heavenly Father chose Jesus to be the Savior. And this is where the rebellion in heaven came in, that Lucifer, allegedly one of the spirit children, one of us in the premortal existence, he and all those who fought on his side were cast down and became demons. And there are other permutations that have to deal with racial issues, but we won't go into that right now. Suffice to say that the plan of salvation, as Joseph Smith said, that God said it would be, involved coming to this earth, taking a body, living in this life, and if you live righteously and if you are baptized in the Mormon Church, and if you keep the word of wisdom and do the various things that are incumbent upon Mormons to do, then you can reach the third and highest level of the afterlife, which is known as the celestial kingdom or exaltation. Now, this means that the process repeats. So just as Heavenly Father was once a man on a planet and was judged worthy to become a God, and he achieved exaltation or godhood, the promises made to all of you, all of us, that in due time, if we join the Mormon Church and get baptized and tithe and keep the word of wisdom, which is a set of dietary restrictions, that we too can become gods. So when you ask, how do they view the Trinity? Unless you understand all of that, then what I'm about to tell you won't make any sense. Because what they believe is that God, the Father, or Heavenly Father, is a separate being. He's a separate God. He was not always God. He evolved into godhood. And Joseph Smith made this really clear in one of the last sermons that he preached before he himself was murdered. It's called the King Follett Discourse. It was the sermon at the funeral of a Mormon man named King Follett, so hence the title. And in that discourse, it's a sermon, you can read it online, just look up King Follett Discourse. He lays it all out. He explains this is the nature of God and he's evolving, and the more of his children who rise to the level of exaltation, the higher up he moves, etc. This has nothing whatsoever to do in any way with what we as Catholics believe about God. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. He's not a man who evolved into a God. He doesn't change. He's limitless. He's perfect. He's a personal being who knows us and loves us and created us out of love. He creates everything that he creates out of nothing. Unlike the Mormon God, who creates things out of pre-existing material that he has to get and make things out of, God, the real God, the God of the universe, outside of time and space, he doesn't need pre-existent material. He creates those things that he creates ex nihilo, out of nothing. So he's infinite. He's all-powerful. He's always been God. He's not changing. We cannot become gods. We'll become like God, we're told in the Bible, and those attributes of his divinity that he can communicate to us, he will and does, but we'll never cease to be humans. We won't become gods. So for Mormons, the Trinity is that God and the Son, who is a separate God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, who is a separate God. And it's never really been explained why the Holy Ghost doesn't have a body, because that's one of the requirements according to the Mormon plan of salvation. Now, there's a lot I told you. I do have to step aside for a quick time out here, Sam, but hopefully that will get you started. I know it may sound somewhat eyebrow-raising for you if you've never heard this before, but you can read it for yourself in these Mormon sources. And those articles that I wrote, I think, will be helpful to you. Just go to relevantradio.com/Patrick and click on links and click on articles and you'll find them there. Thank you. God bless you. And we are praying for your health situation, Sam. Thank you for that. Listen to this miracle moment and I'll be right back with Mary Graham.
Here's another Relevant Radio miracle moment.
Latasha, glad to have you calling into The Inner Life. You're on the air with Father Matthew.
I was wondering if you could give me advice on the steps I would need to take to join the Lord's Church.
The first step is really to learn what the church teaches, what Jesus teaches us through the church. And I think you're already on that path. If you're listening to Relevant Radio, you're already just soaking up what we believe as Catholics.
Learning so much in the last couple months when I found you guys.
Let me tell you this, Latasha, we're going to be praying for you. I know all of our listeners, when we hear about people wanting to become Catholic, we become overjoyed. So we'll be praying for that process for you.
And I so appreciate that. I'll pray for you guys as well, because you've really, really made a difference in my life already. And it's, like I said, it's only been a couple months.
Touch a heart and change a soul by making a donation to Relevant Radio today.
I just had, sticker shock. I don't know what else to call it. I had number shock. I looked at the number of these rosaries and medals that are already gone for the day. I'm flabbergasted. Yeah. We're not kidding.
It's like the reverse of a thermometer.
Exactly.
It's going lower and lower and lower.
Exactly. Do not wait. Today is the only day these are available, and there is a limited number. There's a limited number of these available. And, you know, I was just kind of now thinking about the math in my head. It's probably, when you think of all the people that are listening, the number of rosaries that we have available, I bet, is less than 1%. 1% of you can get it. I mean, I'm just kind of guessing, and, you know, and I'm not good at math, so I could have my decimal off a little bit, but I think it's about 1%.
Well, put it this way. You know, one reason why we don't tell people, we don't tell you how many we start with, because we know from experience that if we did that, you'd say, oh, I've got time. I'll wait till this afternoon, or I'll wait till I get off work. And what'll happen is you'll think you have time and you don't, because they're going so fast. By the way, Mary.
I think it's just the opposite, though. If they knew how little we had and how many people are out there that might want one, they might blow up the phones. Like we'd melt the internet.
We've done that before. Yes, I'd love to do that now. By the way, just want to mention that we are now within $5,000 of reaching the first $1 million in our $3 million goal. So that's a big mini goal.
So yeah, so if somebody's out there and you can make that special $5,000 gift right now, we haven't had a gift of $5,000 or $10,000 yet during Patrick's show today. Morning Air had one. They had a $10,000 gift, but we haven't had one during the Patrick Madrid show today. So yes, if you want to wear that badge, say, you know what, I made that $5,000 gift and I helped them cross the finish line of, or the little mini goal of $1 million, which should put us a third of the way through our need, which we need to get there by the end of the week. Well, we got to tell you though, how do you claim this rosary? I'm going to tell you, it's relevantradio.com, using the app on your smartphone or tablet. And when you go there, you can see the rosary and the medal, which traveled to all of these holy places with Drew Mariani, all over Ireland, some fabulous churches, and it went to Knock, the Shrine of Knock. Mm-hmm. Or you can call 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. A dollar a day, $365 is all it takes. And I've seen a lot of people who are making a second gift during this pledge drive because they, when they heard about this beautiful thank you gift we have available, and they knew it was limited, they didn't want to miss out. Are you on that list? Do you want to be on that list that doesn't miss out? Well, then call us. It's 877-291-0123, 877-291-0123, relevantradio.com, or use the app. There you go. 10 more just like that are gone.
Get connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that Irish music is to remind you about these beautiful gifts we have when you make your pledge at a dollar a day. The St. Patrick Medal doesn't get more Irish than that, does it? And the beautiful Irish rosary with the emerald green beads and a beautiful book on the Holy Spirit. This is at the $1 a day giving level. We'd like to say thank you. But they've been to... The rosary, the medals, for example, have been to so many of the holy places in Ireland. Drew Mariani took them when he was on a pilgrimage, and he brought them physically to these places, and it can be yours.
Yes,
all of that can
true.
Be yours. It is true. What was that say? You said that?
Yes, that's true.
That is true. So you heard it from the man himself, but the reason we're playing the Irish music is to get you in the spirit of things, so you will call 877-291-0123.
Yeah, Patrick, tell us.
And claim yours before they're all gone. By the way, we're about $4,000 away from breaking that threshold for our mini goal of the first $1 million. Let's go to the phones. The number is 888-914-9149. Joe in Doylestown, you're up first. Welcome. Hello, Joe. What do you know?
Hello there.
Oh, Patrick. Hey, I got a question. I'm debating this guy on Sola Scriptura. And like typical, he goes to 2 Timothy 3:16. Right. And so he pulled up some lexicon and saying that, the word profitable really means sufficient. So I pulled up all the words, and none of them mean anything like that. And then the best I can actually uncover, it says, I depend. And so I said, well, yeah, I depend on Scripture. The Catholic Church depends on Scripture, but that's not sufficient. So I'm going to put you.
Uh-oh. What happened? I think he was trying to put me on, I don't know, but we lost the topic. Well, how about that? I know it's about Sola Scriptura, and I know it's a lexical argument that your Protestant friend brought up vis-a-vis 2 Timothy 3. I'm deeply familiar with this issue. So since I didn't hear the rest of your question, go ahead and call back, and I'll do my best to answer it in the time that we've got. So if you're interested, I have an article that is based on the first of two debates that I did with a gentleman by the name of James White. He's a Protestant apologist. He's a Reformed Baptist, so he's Calvinist and Baptist. And we had our first of two debates back in 1993 on this topic, the question of, does the Bible teach Sola Scriptura? So as a kind of after-action report to the people who were interested in knowing what happened at the debate, I wrote an article called The White Man's Burden. Don't worry, nothing racial. It's a riff on the poem by the same title, but it has to do with his last name, James White, and the burden of showing in Scripture where the Bible teaches Sola Scriptura. And I contend that he was not able to show it, and you can listen to the debate itself and judge for yourself. But in any case, this after-action report that I wrote gets into one of the arguments that he used, which is on these terms. There are actually two different terms that he used on the issue of the alleged sufficiency of Scripture. So artios and exartismenos, those are the two words in question. And that's what I think you were about to ask me regarding these words. Oh, it looks like Joe is back. Is that Joe? It looks like it's Joe. So why don't we try to take Joe back? Joe, you're back on the air now. Am I guessing correctly that was one of either exartismenos or artios was one of the words in question?
Yes, that was it.
Okay. So I was beginning to just mention, I have an article in which I comment on this in the aftermath of a debate that I did with James White. And this was one of the arguments that he brought up. So I give an extended response to this issue that if you read this, it's going to help you in your conversation with him. So those are the two terms in 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says that all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, I think is how the King James says it, unto every good work. So these two words, my debate opponent was attempting to use to somehow prove that scripture is therefore sufficient. So the thing to point out is that even though one of the possible translations of that word into English would be sufficient, it's not a main translation. It's not one of the primary translations. In fact, if you consult just, I'm not aware of any English language Bible, Protestant or Catholic, that translates either of those words as sufficient. And what's interesting is that there was another analogy that was brought up in this debate, and he used that of a bike shop. And he said that the bike shop, like the Bible, is sufficient. So if you want to ride a bike, you can go to the bike shop and get everything you need. You get the bike, you get the pump, you get the water bottle, you get the helmet, you get whatever you need to ride a bike. You can be thoroughly furnished, as it says in 2 Timothy 3. And so his point was that, therefore, scripture is sufficient. So in the debate, which is available online, I mean, you just have to type in Patrick Madrid, James White, Sola Scriptura. I think there's I think it might even be on YouTube for all I know, but I know it's out there as a digital download. Well, one of the things you'll hear me say in response to that is, well, what if the guy doesn't know how to ride a bike? I mean, it's great that he can get a bike at the bike shop. It's great that he can get a water bottle and a tire pump and these other things, but it doesn't mean that the bike shop is sufficient, because what if he doesn't know how to ride a bike? Or what if he doesn't know the rules of the road? Or what if there's some other contingency that's taking place that makes it difficult or impossible for him to ride a bike? So words to that effect is what I brought up. So he said in response to that, well, it's not just any old bike rider. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that this is the man of God. He is the one who is going to be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And his argument was that therefore scripture is sufficient to do these things. So I pointed out in the debate, I said, well, you'll notice that it doesn't say that the Bible is sufficient. It says that if the man of God uses the Bible, then he will be thoroughly furnished or suitable to do these things. It doesn't even claim sufficiency for scripture, but it would be a kind of oblique argument to say that it would make the man of God sufficient to do these things. So if anything, it's arguing that the man of God is sufficient, not scripture. But even that argument didn't work out so well, because I asked rhetorically in this debate, I said, well, who is the man of God? I mean, you're a Reformed Baptist, and we were doing the debate at an Orthodox Presbyterian church, and I pointed out that you would not even be able to be ordained in this denomination because you don't believe in infant baptism, and they do, going on the Bible. So which of you is the man of God? The two of you both have the Bible, the pastor of this church and you, and yet using the Bible alone, you can't agree on whether or not infants should be baptized. You insist they shouldn't. He insists they should. So how on earth is the Bible sufficient for that? I said, well, what about the Lutheran minister? And I'm going from memory because this was 30 years ago, but just going from memory, I pointed out some other Protestant ministers in that church that evening who were there in the audience of the debate. And I said, well, which of you guys is the man of God? Because you all have the Bible, but you don't agree on what it means. So that was a little, you know, incident in the debate that was quite interesting. So rather than get into the nitty-gritty of the Greek terms, I do that in the article, at least to some extent. I would refer you to that article, Joe. I think you'll find it helpful. That argument doesn't work. And the easiest way to prove it is to listen to that debate. And maybe send a link to your friend. Let him listen to that debate. And I think you'll find, as so many other people have, that the Bible does not teach sola scriptura, and 2 Timothy 3:16 certainly doesn't teach that as well.
I want to say a great big thank you, Patrick. We had an anonymous donor in Pinole, California, who said, I want that sticker. I want to cross you over the $1 million mark.
Made a
special gift. How much?
$5,000.
Yes, thank you. You
give
did
me some
it.
Cowbell.
Yes. Yes, that is fantastic.
Thank you.
We've raised $1 million. We only need $2 million to make our need by the end of the day on Friday. So that's a good help. Thank you so much. We also had Emma in Chandler, California. And Emma said, you know what? I can't do $5,000, but how about $1,200? Thank you so much. We do appreciate your help and your support. But, you know, even more amazing is how fast these dollar a day, so many people making their special gift of a dollar a day. People like Nathan in, is that pronounced Lompoc, California?
Yeah, Lompoc.
Lompoc, California. Yeah. Manuel in, I keep picking these crazy city names, Pflugerville, Texas. Thank you so much, making your gift online. Patty at Bellflower, a dollar a day. And Patrick, why is everybody making a gift of a dollar a day?
Well, let me tell you, because for a dollar a day, we will send you, as a thank you for your generosity, we will send you a trio of beautiful gifts, which you can see when you go to relevantradio.com, click on the giving button, and you'll see them there. They happen to be an Irish rosary with emerald green beads. I have one just like it. It's beautiful. Also, a medal of St. Patrick that has been taken by our own Drew Mariani to about a dozen holy sites throughout Ireland. I've been to many of them. And Mass was celebrated on, in some cases, ancient altars that are associated with the faith in Ireland and St. Patrick. So this medal has been to those places and in some cases touched to those places. And Drew brought them back from his pilgrimage, and he wants you to have one. We want you to have one, but the only way you can get them is by making your pledge at a dollar a day, as Mary said. You can do that by going to relevantradio.com or use the Relevant Radio app. But they are going very quickly. It looks like by the time we hit the top of the hour, Mary, we may have as many as 200 more out the door just in this 1 hour. Could be more than that.
They're going so fast. And I was excited when I heard about this gift. I'm like, there was this and the umbrella. I'm thinking, I need to give twice during this week because I want both of those gifts myself. So in addition to my already ongoing St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society, but it's well worth it. RelevantRadio.com, using the app on your smartphone or tablet, or you can call 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. And we've seen a lot of people who've already given during this pledge drive, but they think a dollar a day, I can do that. And they step up and they make that special gift of a dollar a day at 877-291-0123 so they can get their very own rosary and the medal, which traveled with Drew. Some of the places that this went to, it went to St. Kevin's Chapel in Glendalough, and it celebrated Mass there. It was celebrated Mass at St. Mary's Cathedral in Killarney. I haven't been to the cathedral, but I went to the castle. Mass at St. Mary's of the Rosary in Cong. Is that how you say that city? Cong? And Mass at St. Peter's Church in Drogheda. I need to change it because
I think they say the G, like a hard G.
Yeah, I actually Googled that one, but all right, if you say so. Mass at Kilmore Chapel and Abbey. I'm Irish. I should know how to say these. I don't have an excuse. I guess I'm too far removed from Ireland.
You need to go back over to Ireland and hang out a little bit more. See the places.
Yep. Amazing, amazing places that this has been. And it's yours when you make your gift of a dollar a day at 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. Or better yet, stop by the website, relevantradio.com, or use the app on your smartphone or tablet. And in addition to the rosary and the medal, you'll receive the book about In Jesus, I Trust in You. It's a 30-day retreat that's based on the Litany of Trust. You'll also receive, when you make your gift at relevantradio.com or on the app, the download link from Father James Kibicki. And this is a fabulous talk. It's actually been very popular. It is the one about the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
He loved us first.
Yes, he loved us first.
God loved us when we were yet sinners. Thank you to you, Anonymous in Temecula, for your $100 second gift online, brand new donor. And Kathleen in Canyon Country, California, thank you for your $365 gift, dollar a day. You're getting that St. Patrick medal and the Irish rosary.
Give now, 877-291-0123. When they're gone, they're gone.